as it is every Sunday for us to get to come and to worship Him. I want to ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Psalms. And I want you to find chapter 71, Psalm 71, and I want you to find verse 18. Next Sunday, I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy. I was preaching through 2 Timothy until we were interrupted by Christmas season, and so I'm going to get back to that next Sunday. But today, I wanted to share a word with you from Psalm chapter 71. I want to read two verses of Scripture to you today. I'm going to ask you to join me in standing as I read from God's Word today. Psalm chapter 71, verses 17 and 18. Now, before I read that, let me just say thank you so much for the way that you have blessed me through the years and for recognizing my anniversary every year. It is a blessing to me, and I am very, very grateful for that. Let me also say to you that throughout my life, I have never had what many people call a life verse. You know what I mean? There are some people who have a life verse, and that is simply a verse that maybe speaks to you or maybe spoke to you a long time ago in a very special way and has kind of guided you through life. There are some very familiar ones and very popular ones. I'm saying to you today, I've never really had a life verse. Now, please understand, there is no mandate in Scripture that says that you have to have a life verse, so you don't have to have one. But if you do have one, I think that's good, as long as you don't take it out of context or maybe try to twist it to say something that it really doesn't say. But I will say to you that probably, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, that God gave me a life verse in my latter years. Psalm 71, I want to preach today. Verses 17 and 18. And I want you to hear, by the way, how can I say this delicately? If you have gray hair or no hair, this may be your life verse today as well. Listen to this. Oh God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. Isn't that a great passage? I guess that's not a verse. It's two verses, really, but I hope God will use it today to speak to your heart. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this room and, Lord, to worship You and now to open up this book. And I pray that You use it to speak to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let me give you a brief introduction today to Psalm chapter 71. It is one of the Psalms that the author is unknown. Now, there are some who believe that the author was Samuel. There are some who believe the author might have even been Jeremiah. But most Bible scholars would say that it seems to be a Psalm of David. Why would they say that? Well, because whenever you read your Bible, there are 150 Psalms. At least 73 of them are known to be Psalms of David because it is the inscription at the beginning says a Psalm of David. But not all of the Psalms are written by David. There's another Psalm. As a matter of fact, the reason why many believe 71 is a Psalm of David is because 70 is a Psalm of David, and this may be just kind of a continuation. But you read other places in your Bible, it'll say a different name other than David. But we know David wrote many of the Psalms, so this certainly could have been him. He wrote the preceding Psalm, we know that. There are many Davidic expressions that are found in this psalm. And so that's the reason why that many people assume that David wrote. I'm of the opinion that David probably penned this psalm. We do know whether it's David or Samuel or Jeremiah or even someone else, whoever it was, he was an old man when he wrote it. Look at verse 9. I did not read that verse in chapter 71. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my faith faileth. And in verse 18 that I did read, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. So we know that it was an old man. We also know that it was a godly old man. This is not just somebody. This is somebody who knows God and has walked with God for a long, long time. John Phillips says in his commentary, in this one psalm of 24 verses, we have some 50 quotations from or allusions to other psalms. That's incredible. In 24 short verses, Dr. Phillips says there are some 50 quotations or allusions from other psalms. So this is an old man, but he's also a man who understands the Word of God. He is a godly old man. When I shared with my daughter yesterday while we were out walking that I was going to preach on a sermon that I called The Testimony of a Godly Old Man, she asked, so is that going to be your testimony? I said, don't go there. I know that I'm an old man. I knew that this morning when I got up and I put this shirt on this morning. Well, when I put this shirt on this morning, I thought this is the kind of shirt that used to, if you saw this on television, they would, some of y'all will remember this, it would say at the bottom of the screen, do not adjust your set. It doesn't look well on that. So I know that I am an old man whenever I looked at that and remembered that. As a matter of fact, I'm old enough to remember that there were some times that the television that we were watching it, that the picture would begin to loop. Some of y'all may remember that it would loop, and you had to go back behind it, and there was a little adjustment. You would kind of get it to stop. You young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you don't have to be a godly old man to know this, all right? Just know, I'm old enough to remember that whenever we were sitting in the living room watching the television, that if my mom was using the mixer, it would mess up the picture on the television. Y'all remember that? And we'd have to say, if a ball game, Mom, please turn that off. So whenever you know things like that, you understand you do qualify as an old man. And so I want you to hear this testimony today. And it's not my testimony. It's the testimony of David. And yet, the older you get, the more you relate to what he's going to say. So look at this with me real quickly today. I want you to first of all see the praise of the old man. He begins by saying in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And what you find now is David is reflecting upon the past. Matter of fact, you young people just might as well know this. The older you get, the more you reflect on the past. You get to the point where you can remember things that happened 30 years ago better than you can remember things that happened 30 minutes ago. And so now he's reflecting upon the past. And notice what he's reflecting on and he's praising God for. Number one was his training, and the emphasis is on the word taught. O God, thou hast taught me. The Hebrew word is a word that means to instruct or to teach, or an old word, to goad. It is saying that you have been taught the things of God. I want you to hear me today. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be taught. It's one thing to be converted, it's another thing to be instructed. It is good to be saved, it's good to be converted, but after that, my dear friend, you need to be taught the Word of God. Everyone needs to be taught. That's whenever our children are small, we put them in school because they need to be taught. Mark Twain said, everyone is stupid just on different subjects. And so that's why everybody needs to be taught. And so here's the psalmist reflecting and saying, O God, thou hast taught me. I do think that I have to reflect in my past. I'm thankful that as a young boy, I was taught. I'm thankful that I went to Sunday school where I was taught the Word of God. I'm thankful that I went to Vacation Bible School where I was taught the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in the church that I grew up, we even had Sunday night before our evening worship service, we had something that was called Training Union. Then they changed the name to Discipleship Training. But the word training was in there, and that the idea is that we were training people, teaching people, and that's what the psalmist is praising God for. I thank you, God, that I have been taught. Secondly, he's praising God because of his teacher. The emphasis now is upon, O God, thou. That is, he's saying the one who taught me was God. I've been taught by God. You know, in my research, I've only found one sermon that I was able to locate that has been preached from my text in Psalm chapter 71. And that sermon was preached by a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I read Spurgeon's old sermon. As a matter of fact, the title of Spurgeon's sermon on this same text was An Old Man's Sermon. And so I'm looking at that, and what Spurgeon was said in his sermon, he said, David entered Christ College. Spurgeon said that every young Christian ought to go to the school of Jesus. I like that. All of us ought to go to the school of Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying, David was saying, I have been taught by God. God has used others, and through them, maybe men like Samuel that God had spoken to him, certainly by the Holy Spirit whenever he was out in the fields taking care of the sheep. He had been taught by God. Oh, I'm gonna tell you, when you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you have a pretty good combination to teach you the things of God. I would say to every young person and every young adult in this room today, you need to be taught the Word of God. And one of the dangers is many today are being taught by the podcast that they listen to, or the blogger that they read after, or the author that they read after. I'm not saying those things are bad, but I'm going to tell you, your primary teacher ought to be the Word of God. And so he said, I've been taught by God. When you get old and gray, the only thing that will get you through sometimes are the things that you've been taught by the Word of God. Go visit the home of a senior adult. Go visit a shut-in today, and you'll find a lot of times you'll find that godly old man, and there's a Bible sitting there over there on the table that's open and worn. It's been teardrops have dropped on it because they've been taught by God. So he's praising God for his training, also for his teacher. Thirdly, notice this. Also notice his time. The emphasis now is on the word youth. Hear that phrase again. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. The best time to be taught the Word of God is when you're young. Learn the Word of God when you're young. You remember what Paul said to Timothy when he wrote him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15? He said to Timothy, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I've always, in my sanctified imagination, I've thought about Timothy as a boy being taught by his godly mother. Timothy as a boy being taught by his godly grandmother. So he was taught the Word of God as a boy. And the psalmist here is saying that he was also taught as a child. Look again at verse 5 of the same 71st chapter of the book of Psalms. And it says, for thou art my hope, O God, thou art my trust from my youth. And so he learned it whenever he was just a boy. And not only that, but his learning was put to the test, and it proved to be good, because the Bible says he protected the sheep whenever a lion and a bear came, and he protected the nation whenever a giant by the name of Goliath came. He did that as a young man. I say again to you today, young people need to be taught the Word of God. They ought to be taught at home the Word of God. They ought to be taught in a connection group the Word of God. They ought to be taught on Wednesday night the Word of God. I'm going to say to you parents today, you have them for a small period of time. You need to make sure that they're taught the Word of God. That sometimes is the only thing that's going to get them through in this world. One last thing as we look at the praise of the old man. Notice his tenacity. The emphasis now is on the word from. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. What's he saying? He's saying that I have not stopped learning. I learned some things as a boy, but I continue to learn some things. He learned as a boy. He learned as a young man. Now he learns as an old man. And because of that, he does not waver. He does not wander. He's somebody who is unmovable and steadfast. What he's saying was, as Spurgeon said, he went to the College of Christ. He said, I've never graduated from the College of Christ. I'm still enrolled in the College of Christ. I'm still at the school of Jesus Christ, because even though I've learned that as a boy, I'm still learning that now as an old gray-haired man. Spurgeon also said this, the man who cannot learn anymore is the man who has never learned anything aright. I'll tell you, I'm still learning. As I continue to study, God continues to teach. And so I want to continue in the College of Christ, as Spurgeon said. I want to continue in the school of Jesus and learning the things of God. It's very popular in our world today whenever young people go off to college to enter. Sometimes these athletes want to go into what's called the transfer portal. You know what I'm talking about? I want to say today, I have no interest in going into a transfer portal from the College of Jesus Christ. I plan to stay right enrolled in the College of Christ until I graduate, when I go to glory to be with him forever and ever. So here's the David saying, man, I'm praising God, as he says in the first part of this verse, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. There's a second thing I want you to see. I want you to see the perspective of the old man. Stay with me, please, here for just a minute. Look at the latter part of verse 17. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Did you hear that? And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And so what's his perspective? Number one, his present life. The emphasis here is on the word hitherto. Write this down. I'm the only pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention today who's going to preach on the word hitherto. I think I'm pretty safe ground saying there's no other pastor around the world today who's going to preach on the word hitherto. And by the way, do you know that if you want to study the word hitherto, you're an old man, you have to have an old dictionary. And I happen to have one, the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary gives a definition of the word hitherto. Here's what it means. In any time till now, or to this time. Whenever you read the New King James, it says this, and to this day have I declared thy wondrous works. The Christian Standard Bible says, and I still proclaim thy wondrous works. What's he saying? He said, I learned these things as a boy. But the things I learned as a boy, I'm still preaching today. I still believe today. David, you know his life. He was a shepherd boy when we first meet him. He goes to being a harpist. Then he goes to be a warrior. Then he goes to being a great king. And so all through the life and the progress of his life, he's been faithful to God. He's been declaring, he said, thy wondrous word. He's still preaching the word of God. In the membership class this morning, one of the things I do in that class is I share my story. And God called me to preach on June the 9th, 1968. June the 9th, 1968. And after that Sunday morning, I'm walking down the aisle of my church and taking my pastor by the hand and saying to him, I believe God's called me to preach. The following Wednesday, I was at a little local dairyland that my mom and dad owned. I was there on a Wednesday night, and a friend of mine by the name of Carl Shonnett, who was a school teacher, also a bivocational pastor, he came to that same dairyland. He saw me. He said to me, he said, Keith, I heard you surrender to preach last Sunday. And I said, yes, I did. He said, how about preaching for me this Sunday? And I thought, is that how that works? You know, do I not need to really graduate high school or something, you know, before that? I said, let me think about it. And so I went home and I called him back and I said, yes. So I started to preach on June the 9th, 1968. I preached my first sermon on June the 16th, 1968, at the First Baptist Church in Retrop, Oklahoma, which is the only Baptist church in Retrop, Oklahoma, which is the only building in Retrop, Oklahoma. And I preached to a congregation of about 30 people. Half of them were my relatives who came to hear what I had to say. But I say all that to say this to you today. The same message that I preached in Retrop, Oklahoma on June the 16th of 1968 is still the same message that I preach today at Westside Baptist Church in 2023, because I'm telling you, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ does not change. And so that's why he said, and hitherto, that's why he said, and still he's preaching the word of God. I'm still preaching like I preached back in Retrop. Well, maybe not exactly, but similar to what I preached in Retrop. By the way, I take it as a compliment when somebody who has not seen me in a while comes up to me and says, you know what? You're the same old Keith Russell. Now, they don't mean that I look the same, but what they're saying was, you still preach the same message that you preached a long time ago. I think that's what David meant when he said, and hitherto and still I have declared thy wondrous works. There's a second thing I see in his perspective. Number two is his preaching life. The emphasis now is up on the word declare. And hitherto have I declared. That is, David's divine duty was to declare the wondrous works. Now, the word declare is a word that means to proclaim or to announce. And David was saying, that is my chief assignment, is to declare thy wondrous work. And by the way, sometimes he did that in private conversation. Sometimes he did that in public proclamation. But he was declaring the word of God. That was the chief assignment of David, was to declare the word of God. That's my chief assignment, is to declare the word of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your chief assignment is to declare the word of God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost shall come, he said, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. That is the main business of every child of God, is to declare, to announce, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I went back to a former church some time ago to attend a funeral. There was a lady in that church who came up to me after the service, and this is what she said to me. She said, you remember whenever we used to go out and knock on doors and talk to people about Jesus Christ? And I thought, that's it. I'm going to tell you, friend, when it comes to the end of the life, it's not the sermons that you preached or the songs that you sang or the fellowships that you attended, but it's the souls that you led to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying was. He said, my preaching, my declaring the faith. Now let's last thing. We're looking at the perspective of the old man, his present life, his preaching life, thirdly, his praising life. For he says, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Wondrous works. It translates a Hebrew word which means to do something extraordinary. He said, I've been declaring the fact that my God does something extraordinary, his wondrous works. I thought about the perspective of this. If we're correct that this is a psalm of David, David grew up as a shepherd, right? And he would be out there in the fields and taking care of his sheep. And he would be out there walking up and down the hillsides and jumping over the creeks or the dry wadis that are there in that part of the world. He was out there, and by day he would look up and see the sun. And by night he would look up and see the stars. And evidently this young boy, he gets overwhelmed by the creation of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, he would later write in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, which does say a psalm of David. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And now he said, "And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous work." That is, he said, "I want everybody to know how extraordinary my God is." He praised his heavenly Father. He didn't look at the heavens and give Mother Nature credit for all that. No, not Mother Nature. Father Creator is who he gave praise to. He wasn't lifting up the virtues of men or the high priest. He was saying, "No, I want to tell you about my God. I want to tell you about his wondrous works." I never tire of still today praising the God for his wondrous works. You remember the lyrics to this old song? "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true, and it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love." How about you? Man, can you say, "And still, and hitherto do I declare thy wondrous works." One more verse and I'm done. Look at verse 18. We're looking at the testimony of a godly old man. Listen to we've looked at his praise, and we looked at his perspective. Look at the prayer of the old man. "Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength," listen to this, "unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come." Two things, listen to this. Number one, his plea. The emphasis now is on forsake me not. Forsake me not. The word forsake means to abandon. It means to leave behind. "Oh God, don't abandon me. Don't leave me behind." David is saying that the same power that has flowed through me all of my life, don't let it stop now. God, you've been with me all these years. Don't fail me now. And so he's saying, "God, don't forsake me now." Let me say this to you today. Past success is no certainty of future victory. Do you know this? Every day is a new day for the child of God. They talk about momentum in the athletic world. I want to tell you this. There is no such thing as momentum in the spiritual world. Every day is a new day. Just because God gave you victory yesterday is not assurance that you'll have victory tomorrow. And so every day you have to say, "God, please give me the strength that I need." Every day. By the way, this is the testimony of a godly old man. You need to be careful in the latter years as a child of God. Spurgeon said something in his sermon that I'd never heard before. This is what he said. He said, "Horses are more likely to fall at the bottom of the hill." You ever heard that? Sure you have. I just said it. "Horses are more likely to fall at the bottom of the hill." What was he saying? He's saying these horses have been pulling a wagon or whatever, and they've been going on a journey. They've been going up hills and down hills. And he said, "But they're more likely to fall at the bottom of the hill." That is, whenever you get off of the hill, that's when you begin to relax and you begin to rest. And that's whenever they're more likely to fall. Maybe the message here today is, listen, a lifetime of faithfulness can be ruined by one sin in somebody's life at the bottom of the hill. What happens is sometimes when you get old, you get tired and you relax and you let your guard down. And I think what David was praying, this was his prayer, God, don't let me fail you at the end. I think we would say it like this, God, help me to finish strong. I think that's what David was saying. I don't want to coast to the finish line, do you? I don't want to coast. There's nowhere worth going that you can drift to. Did you know that? And so what he's saying, God, help me to finish strong. My prayer is, God, don't forsake me. And then lastly, his proposal. Here's why he doesn't want to fail him now. It's because the emphasis is upon now this generation and that is to come. Now, if you've gone off to sleep, wake up right now. David's focus, this godly old man, he said, until I've shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David's focus is not on his generation. David's focus is now upon the next generation and the generation behind that generation. That's who he's praying, that he said, I want them to see thy strength. I want them to know thy power. He's looking forward. I talked about that last Sunday morning a little bit. The best way to keep from stumbling is to keep looking forward and not looking backward. And so he said, now my focus is upon those who are in front of me. I want to say, when I look at my life, God has many good reasons to forsake me if he wants to. But he's promised me in his word that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And so whenever I look at the word of God, he did not forsake Abraham when he was old. He did not forsake Isaac when he was old. He did not forsake David when he was old. And we need to pray, God, don't forsake me when I'm old, but help me to keep my focus on this generation and the next generation and the next generation, that they might know the same God that I know and know his power. I want to say something to every parent and every grandparent in the room today. We're going after your kids and we're going after your grandkids with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. MTV has already said this, and I quote, MTV said, we don't want to influence your kids. We want to own your kids. And I'm saying to MTV, I'm saying to Westside Baptist Church, we're going after those kids with the gospel of Jesus. Not this generation, but the next generation. Listen, I want my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, and I want your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to know the same God that I know. I want them to know his power. I want them to know his strength. I want them to know the God who saved me can save them. The God who called me can call them. That's what we're trying to do. That's his prayer. That's his proposal. God, until I have shared thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I'm thinking of another old man. I'm thinking of a man by the name of John Newton. Some of you know the story of John Newton. You may remember that he was a rebellious, ungodly, blasphemous slave trader back in the 1700s. Oh, his mama had taught him the word of God when he was just a boy, but his mama died when he was just a boy. His dad was in the slave trading business. He grew up and went into business with his dad. Some of you know that was his background. And that's the life that he lived until one day out there on a sailing ship, a storm came up and God got a hold of his heart and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. That's the man I'm talking about, John Newton. You may know him. You may know John Newton is also the guy who wrote a song that we have in our hymn books that I've oftentimes called the Baptist National Anthem. You know it better as Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. That's the John Newton that I'm talking about. But what you may not know is John Newton was also a preacher. And he grew old. And matter of fact, his testimony says that he got so old that he couldn't make his way up the steps to stand behind the pulpit. And his latter years, When it came time to preach, there would be men in the church who would literally carry him up the steps, stand him behind the pulpit so he could preach the word of God. Some young man said to him one Sunday, "Really, John? You're so feeble that you can't even walk up the steps? Somebody has to carry you up the steps? Don't you think it's about time for you to quit and give it over and let somebody else do the preaching?" To which John Newton replied, I'll quote, "What? Shall the old African blasphemer ever leave off preaching the grace of his master as long as there is breath in his body? No, never." Why would he have that kind of resolve? Because he knew, "Lord, when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." I think maybe John Newton knew the testimony of King David. Let me close with this. There's nothing in the process of growing old that will make you a godly old man. There's nothing in the process of growing old. I have a hard time saying old woman, but I just shouldn't say that, right? But you know what I'm saying. There's nothing in the process of growing old that will make you godly. The only thing that will make you godly is placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Just because you have gray hair doesn't mean you're godly. Just because you've grown old, stooped, and wrinkled doesn't make you godly. Only Jesus can do that. There may be some of you in this room today, you're well down the road of life. But the truth of the matter is, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. And you need to do that today. There are some of you today that probably what I've said hasn't resonated with you a whole lot because you're so young. But if you can look down the road, one of these days you're not going to be so young. And if you want to be godly in your old age, the best thing to do is start in your young age and give your heart to Christ. There are some of you I'm talking to in this room today that if your life was tragically snuffed out, you would spend eternity right now apart from Christ forever and ever. There are some of you in this room today, if an accident came or a heart attack came, some event came in your life, you would spend eternity separated from Jesus forever and ever. The best thing you ever do is give your life to Jesus. When I was 7 years old, I was attending the First Baptist Church of Burns Flat, Oklahoma. The church where I went to Sunday school, the church where I went to vacation Bible school, a church where my pastor was a man by the name of Carl Coffey. And it was there at that church where I did the best thing I've ever done. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm here to testify to you today, He's made a difference in my life all these years. And I'm saying to you today, the best thing you will ever do is to give your life to Jesus Christ. You will never, ever regret it. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Today, in this moment. I'm going to ask you to be real honest with God and real honest with yourself. I'm asking you today, has there been a place or a time when you personally have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, to be your Savior and your Lord? I'm not asking you, have you joined the church? I'm not asking you, are you a pretty good person? I'm asking you, have you ever committed your life to Jesus Christ? If you cannot say with all assurance, yes, I have, and tell me when or where that happened, then you're lost. You don't know Jesus. But the good news is you can be saved today. And if you today so desire in your heart to say, Jesus, I want to give you all of my life for the rest of my life, you can do that right here, right now. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to sing our last song. There'll be pastors standing down here at the altar. There'll be pastors standing in every aisle. I'm asking you today, if you'd say, Pastor, I want to know that I have a home in heaven, would you come take one of these men of God by the hand and just say, today, I want to give my life to Christ. Today, I want to get saved. Say it however you want to say it. They'll know exactly what you mean. Why not settle that once and for all today? Father, we thank you for your presence in this room today. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the testimony of the godly old man that we've been reading about today. And God, I pray that every person in this room, before they walk out of this door today, that they'll have a testimony. That they'll have a time and a place that they know whenever they place their faith in you. So God, right now, please speak. Draw us to yourself. Help us to know what you want us to do. Father, if there are those in this room today who've been saved, but yet they're walking a distance from you, they need to come back to you, draw them to yourself today. Father, if there's folks in this room today who are looking for a church home, you've brought them to Westside and you want them to be here, I pray that they would come today. God, there may be some young man that you've placed upon his heart that you're calling him to preach the Word of God. Make your will clear today. Help us to say yes to you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Our pastors are in their places. We sing our final song. You come do what God wants.